That's the one. Yes. God will supply all our needs. In who? In Christ Jesus. So that tells us that the riches are domiciled in Christ. Which basically, domicile is like they are addressed in Christ. Like number three, single clothes, that's the address. So domicile, that means that if you want to find out what those riches in God are, they are in who? That's the address where they belong to. So they are domiciled in Christ. We have to get the word of God in our lives. You see, in Acts chapter 4, to show you how important this is, there was a bit of a quarrel that was going on in the church. This is in chapter 6, and then they decided to gather, and this is what they said. But we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So let us not get distracted by the many things that come to choke up our time. We have to, you and I, the blueprint for you and I is devote your time to what? To prayer and to reading the word. Because where you are being called as sent ones of Jesus Christ, you are meant to minister to people. This is why you devote yourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, so that you can equip yourself that you are ready wherever you are at work, you are ready to minister to people. So the word of God is something that we cannot avoid, we cannot run from, because we will need it. It is like a tool in the toolbox. If you want to do something and you don't have the tool, well, you're in a bit of trouble, so you have to borrow the tool from somebody. Yes, well, that's true. Back to Bunnings, yes. So, as we continue this series, I can't stress enough that you are going to need the word of God in your life to move you in the plan and purpose that God has for you. Irrespective of age, God wants to do something with your life. You constantly have got to outwork the purpose of God. This is what we're going to find as we get into the last in Philippians chapter 1. And so it says, it is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I will rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of God helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. And then he goes on to say, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. He goes on to explain that, look, it's actually better that I stay alive, because then I can encourage you and all of that. And he says, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to have all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you'll have more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Paul is telling us that our lives, it is all about Christ. That there were some people that were very happy that Paul was in jail because they said, now it's my turn to get a bit of notoriety, to get a bit of, to elevate myself because this guy is locked up. But Paul, this is why he says, some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach with pure motive. And so what he's saying is that regardless of whether they're true or false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached. This talks to us about competition. When we see others, and we are conditioned to win. Life tells us that, hey, you got to win. And the reason I know that is because when you bought poor grades, or even you bought some good grades to your parents, they probably would have said, oh, geez, how come you couldn't have done better? We are all conditioned to win. We are all conditioned to want to be the one that is at the front. I don't know whether I said this last week, that I, when I was my first semester at university, my first grades, four subjects, I got a high distinction for one, a distinction for the other, and two credits. And so I'm calling from Malaysia, I'm calling my father and saying to him, hey, these are my grades. You know, these are, I thought they were good grades. And he says, how come you never got high distinctions in all of them? So sometimes what happens is that we are so conditioned for competition, we're so conditioned to want to win. And that can come in the way of our relationship, even with others in the church. But the attitude we're supposed to have that Paul had is that it's easy to compare, it's easy to compete, or to question others' motives. But when it comes to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not a competition. The kingdom is what wins when Christ is preached. Because it's not about me, it is all about Christ. Paul is telling us that, hey, I could care less about what people are doing, about what their motives are. What I do care about and what is most important is that the message of Jesus Christ is preached. That should be the attitude that you and I have. That, hey, the gospel is the one thing that needs to advance more than anything else. He goes on to say in Philippians 1 verse 20, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but I will continue to be bold for Christ. Now understand that this is a man writing from prison, and so his words carry conviction and hope. For I fully expect and hope. He's not expressing confidence in himself, but in Christ. His expectation and hope are rooted in God's faithfulness. So no matter what the circumstances are, chains, opposition, sickness, health, potential death, he's saying God will work through him. He says that I will never be ashamed. Now, he's not necessarily talking about, oh, I'm a bit embarrassed. He's not talking about embarrassment in that sense. He's talking about failing to live up to Christ's calling. That's what should bother you and I. That I really don't want to fail to live up to whatever Christ has called me to. That's the one thing that I never want to be ashamed of. That's what he's mentioning here. That's what he's referring to. He didn't want to compromise, to deny, or back down from the gospel, even if it cost him his life. So he's saying that to shrink back from the truth of Christ is what would bring true shame. Because standing boldly for Christ brings glory, even if it brings suffering. Now, this is a man that could say this because as he's writing this letter, he's in prison. And he says that I'll never be ashamed, but I will continue to be bold for Christ, which means a boldness or courage to speak and live for Christ in the face of opposition, in the face of hostility, and sometimes in the face of personal loss. Because sometimes we have to understand that we are here to serve God, not the other way around. It is not just about, oh, Lord, bless me, and yes, he will do that. But we are to live for him. This is why when, in the book of Acts, they spoke about when they faced opposition, the disciples and all the guys there, they said, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, this is why it's very interesting. They didn't say to speak my opinions with boldness. They said to speak your word. Which means that we need to know the word of God. That's what we need to speak. Not to be caught up in arguments, but to speak the word of God. Give me boldness that I can proclaim the word of God. So Paul is telling you and I that his deepest hope is not just to survive or be released, but to remain faithful. He says, I don't want to dishonor Christ by fear or by criticism. I want to continue to courageously magnify Jesus in my body. Because he had said, my record in the past is that when I started, I was on fire for the Lord, doing things. But all of a sudden, now when I look at my life, maybe there's certain things I'm not as on fire as I was. Because he's telling us his past record, that if you read the book of Acts, it will show you all the times that Paul was imprisoned. He was nearly beaten. They were really after him, wanting to kill him. But he says that I was bold in the past. So he says, I want that to continue. This unwavering commitment is a refusal for you to be silenced, but a prayer that your life will continue to bring glory to Christ. Why? What would cause a man? What was the reason for his boldness? Because he says, for to me, living for Christ, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. So this is what he's saying to you and I, that, hey, in life, Christ's purpose is fulfilled. In death, I'm in Christ's presence. So that means that the boldness that Paul had came from knowing that there's no way I'm winning either way. If I lived, Christ would be glorified. If I died, I would be with Christ. So when Christ defines our life, we're unshaken by loss, by suffering, or even death. When Christ defines our life, we're unshaken by loss, by suffering, or even death. So what defines your life? Is it your career, your possessions, your status? Or is it Christ? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. All what Paul was espousing, what Paul was saying, he was just telling us everything that the Lord Jesus Christ modeled with his life. So the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he was at a, this is why I said in the first, probably in the second week of this, that this is how we know that Jesus was a man. Because when it came to come, to, when it came for him to go to the cross, he had a bit of doubt. He didn't want to endure. But he says, hey, not my will, but your will be done. You and I are going to face the exact same test. Not my will, but your will be done. We will be faced with situations in our life where this will come true. Who is it? Is it going to be your will or God's will? That when the Lord speaks to you, will you do what? Will you do what he wants, or do what you want? So when we live our lives knowing that Jesus died for us, and that we are his slaves, that we are his, he's our master. When moments come in our lives where there is an opportunity to compromise. And sometimes, you see, the compromise is not in the big things. It's not about, oh, what, you want to steal $1,000? Or do you want to steal at work? Or whatever it is. It could be just in subtle things, small compromises along the way, that once you add them up, because, you see, it's very easy to drift. You won't notice small drifts in your life where you think, nah, you know, I won't spend time with the Lord. I won't read my Bible. But after a while, you find that the drift begins to get wider and wider. A 1 centimeter drift, you, after maybe 10 meters, you won't see the difference. But after 100 kilometers, you are completely veering off course. Now, it's easy to think, well, that's not possible when you're driving roads. But imagine you are on a ship in the water, that the small drift after 100 miles or nautical miles, whatever it is, you find that you are completely lost. So the challenge for us is, what will we do in those moments? But guess what? If our boldness is anchored in who Jesus is, then we are going to be we're going to be on our way. So Philippians 1:25 says, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow. So Paul's passion wasn't just to survive or escape hardship. It was to help others grow and experience the joy of their faith. Paul's desire wasn't self-preservation, but kingdom multiplication. I want the kingdom of God to grow, that my life's purpose is to make the kingdom of God expand. So the one thing you have to understand is that he says, your faith, that you might know the what? The joy, you might grow and experience the joy of whose faith? Which means that your faith has to be personal. It is not a borrowed faith. It is not one where, if it was one way we could delegate for somebody to do all the praying for you and all the reading of the word for you, we'd probably do that because we're like, oh, thank goodness, that's one task I don't have to do. I can delegate. But the things of God are not known cerebrally through our heads. They're known via experience. We experience the Lord. This is why that scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Which basically is telling us experience. It's not a head knowledge that's going to count for us. It's us experiencing God. So it has to be your personal relationship. It is not your mother's relationship. It is not your father's relationship. It is a personal relationship that only you can make the decision to say, hey, I'm going to live for Christ. It has to be your faith, not anybody else's. Otherwise, it won't mean anything. What are you going to defend if it's not your faith? It has to be your own. So what is the joy of your faith? You see, in the book of Acts, when Paul was on his way to Damascus to kill all the Christians, he had an encounter with the Lord. And then the Lord, and then obviously he was blinded after that encounter. And then the Lord spoke to another guy to say, hey, I need you to go to Saul, that's what he was called before, and go and pray for him and then make him, you know, heal him from his, you know, because he was blind. And then after you pray for him, he'll be able to see. He said, because Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. The reason why he was bold is because he knew what his purpose was. That I must suffer. I must send my, take my message to the Gentiles and to kings. This is where Paul was. He found himself in the jail because in Acts he says, I appeal to Caesar. And they said, oh, well, if that's the case, you're on your way to where? You're on your way to Rome. So he's found in the Philippian jail in transit to where? To Rome. The joy of your faith is a personal experience. It is based on an encounter with the Lord. So when he was prayed for, his life was never the same again. He received a restoration of his sight naturally, but also spiritually. Because it was from that day forward, his life was never the same. That's why Paul, because of the words that were spoken by Ananias, that's why he could rejoice and be bold and live for others. Because he recognized that his life wasn't his. It wasn't about himself, but it was about who? Christ. So this morning, as we finish, I wonder, is Christ over everything in your life? All of us are going to have opportunities in our lives where we will say, I belong with Jesus or I don't. Who are you going to be associating with? So I'll just get the team to get back up so that... So Paul models for you and I what it means to live with Christ as supreme. That Christ is greater than the chains that we might face. Christ is greater than death. And so he's modeling for us the exact same things that the Lord Jesus Christ modeled. That, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. We will face moments in our lives where we can compromise, where we can subtle compromises in our life. And so what Paul is telling us here is that because of what Christ has done in my life, I'm going to move my life from self first to Christ overall. And so as we stand this morning, can you say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? You see, if we truly, for all of us, if we truly are engaged with the Lord and with his word, what happens, you see, is that we can't help but change the things that we do in our lives. The stuff that we watch, the stuff that we listen to, who we are, our conversation changes because of what Christ has done in our lives. So when Christ is over everything, nothing can steal our joy. We will remain bold even in the face of persecution. Father, I just thank you this morning that for all of us, Lord God, that we would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, that even as the song says, no matter what price I pay, that we would choose to give our lives away. That in those moments, Lord God, when we are faced with compromise, that, Lord, we would always choose you. We would always choose you. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your word, that your word is a mirror for our lives. That, Father, as we let the word, Father, as we look at ourselves, Lord God, through the standard of Christ, as we spend time with you, may we be more and more like Christ in our lives. May we, Lord God, have a hunger for your word, because your word changes us. That no matter where you station us, no matter where you send us, Father, we would be relevant because the word of God is alive in our lives. The word of God is alive in our lives. In the workplace, Father, may they rejoice because we are there, your people, representing you. May the workplace flourish because we are there. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. May we say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. You are worthy to be praised. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your people, Lord, that they would have a hunger and a thirst for your name, a hunger and a thirst for your word. And I'm just going to give an opportunity, you know, for those that have never, ever had the opportunity to make Christ the Lord, not just the Lord, but the Savior of your life. An opportunity just to respond to him this morning to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a choice today that I'm going to give my life to Christ. And not even just that I'm not going to just make a decision and then keep on living the way that I've been living, but that I will make a decision today to live for Christ. So if you can, I invite you into this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I repent of my sins and I choose to follow you from this day on. In your name I pray. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, hey, even for us, it's always an opportunity to come and say, look, I need to align myself, my life, right with the Lord in areas where maybe I'm out of alignment. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your people, Lord God, that as we leave this place, Lord, our heart's desire is to bring glory to your name, is to live up to the calling of Christ over our lives. No matter what our age, Lord God, that we would hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful with a little, and that we would come into the rest of our master. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. So let's sing. If you need prayer, please come to the front and we'll pray for you. God bless you and have a wonderful week.